December 12th meeting of the Boulder Planning Commission to order. It is 6:05 p.m. and we'll do roll call. Present are
Daryl Fuller,
Colleen Thompson.
Wait, say it one more time, Tina. I have you on not speaker.
Tina Carlson.
Okay. And Lacey, can you hear Tina on? Could you hear that?
Tina's not coming through as clearly as the others.
Okay, Tina, say something loud.
Okay, this is Tina Carlson.
Actually, you could turn up the speaker there.
Yeah, it's not great, but we can.
Okay, try it again, Tina.
Okay, this is Tina Carlson yet again.
Okay, hey, turn it down a little bit.
We got that.
Okay.
Okay, and this is Nancy Tosta. Can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
Tina Carlson makes a motion to approve the agenda.
Is there a second?
Daryl, second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay, it's unanimous. And just to clarify, Elena Hughes has been excused. She's out of town. There was a slight possibility she would join us, but it seems unlikely. Any conflicts of interest with what we've got on the agenda? Nope, there's a whole bunch of shaking heads, not a whole bunch, two shaking heads here. So no conflicts with the agenda. So let's move on to the meeting minutes. I just to say, I did review these and made a couple of minor changes, that just editorial, grammatical. So have you all read these meeting minutes? And does anybody have any other changes they want to make in it?
No, I do have a comment.
Okay.
There was a lot in the town. I feel like I'm, in the town meeting with the planning commission, that recording is really hard to follow. And there's so many indications of I've actually looked, hearing it, it's sad, I would say, as far as going back and getting some kind of record of what we discussed. But maybe that should be something to consider in the future.
When the quality of the recording may be questionable. We were in a different room and, you know.
Right. Whatever. I just wanted to make that comment because I had trouble, anyway. Listening
Thanks,
to the recording, but I will try again
and
later.
On those minutes, you had asked me to go back and look at my notes because I had captured some. But when I read the minutes, I felt like all the things that I had noted down were captured. I mean, we talked about roads and we talked about the one lot, I think. But I did review them and didn't feel like I could add anything that would be any different than what was already there.
Right.
So, and you had another comment, Tina?
No, I had no other issues with any of the other meetings, so I'm ready to vote.
Okay. should we just adopt these all at once? Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion to adopt them all at once. The 10th, October 1st, November 14th and November 11th.
November 19th.
Sorry, 19th.
I do find this numbering scheme it takes me a minute each time I have to look at it. I'd rather put the year at the end, but anyway, Jessica wants it this way.
No, it works better for records.
Yes, for records, it would be not as helpful.
Okay. All right. Is there a second on the motion?
I'll second that.
Any further discussion? Any comments? No? No. Okay. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. It's unanimous approving the minutes from October 1st, November 14th, and November 19th. Staff reports. Aaron or Lacey, any staff reports?
This is Aaron. I still working through some of the summary items that you and I talked about. So as I get them, I will share them. And then I did just want to ask around the progress on the application. I feel like there was some stuff that was still getting resolved with the between the new code itself and the building requirements or documentation. So I guess I just want to say we need to resurrect the work on the application itself. And I guess I'll reach out to Josh to do that.
That's what I was just going to say, that the assignment I thought was you and Josh would bring back a draft application form. I do know that Josh and John are still, what's the right verb? Muddling. I don't know what the right verb is, but working their way through the subdivision code. So there may be some changes. And I suppose it would be, the intent is that the town council has a special meeting next Thursday night and they will be adopting these codes.
Okay.
You know, at that point, they will be final.
Okay.
So reach out to Josh would be my suggestion, Aaron. And then on the summary, are you speaking of the my request to you for the project application trends?
Yes.
Okay. I had asked Aaron to look, give us some idea of how many project applications we've had this year and last year and previous years, just to get some idea of the trend as we look at our general plan. So she's working on that.
Great.
Thank you.
I don't have anything.
Okay. Thanks, Lace. Did you have something, Tina, you wanted to say?
No, I just appreciate the finding the information on our projects applications. That's great.
Okay. Cool. All right. No more staff. Agenda item number 6, TCPC liaison report. Our liaison is sitting in the audience and approaching the dais.
Okay, John Varanth here. Let's see, I think just picking up on Aaron's comment so I don't forget, basically the intent was that the forms are basically an administrative call. If the the town council can in effect rubber stamp, but that the layout of the forms, the content of the forms is basically, I think, an administrative responsibility. The legislative responsibility is to make sure that anything that the form calls for is in fact authorized by the ordinance. So I hope that helps on that one. It's been a busy year. I appreciate everybody's efforts and all that. I'm hoping going into next year, we won't have to have so many double meetings in a month, but I do appreciate everyone being here tonight and for the town council meeting coming up, which will be a double meeting again. Regarding the RSTR memo, I'll comment on that as part of the hearing. Or if you wish, Nancy, I can approach it as a report on the transmittal. So I can either do it as public hearing, public comment, or as town council, whichever fits you on that. But basically the thing I wanted to say to the Planning Commission is this is one proposal. There are many ways to address the problem that we're facing of a large number of RSTRs not being in compliance. If in the process of tonight's hearing and discussion, the Planning Commission comes up with an alternative, that is certainly going to be considered. So, there is openness to better ideas. As far as the other agenda items, the big one is down at the bottom, the work for 2025. There's been some discussions within the TC. I'm hoping that we can perhaps have something like a list of items, which is supplemented by input from the Planning Commission, have the Town Council look at that as a document in preparation for our January meeting, and then sometime next year, early next year, have a joint meeting of the Planning Commission and Town Council to go over that. But just to give some highlights, I concur with the training, the Planning Commission bylaws, and general plan update that is already on your agenda. I will continue to call attention to the importance of some action on increasing housing opportunities. It's been over 2 years now since we've had the housing meeting. We have done some things like lot averaging, the changes to the subdivision code that will help, but we really need to look at very specific things that will increase the opportunities for both purchase and rental housing that's within the economic range of our workforce. That includes looking at duplexes, multifamily housing, and upzoning from to higher density. There's a there's an interest from at least two town council members in urgency on the commercial standards and the commercial zoning questions. The issue, the current ordinance has serious problems and has some tremendous vulnerabilities to the town that do need to be corrected. Tonight's hearing is on an interim ordinance to address the RSTR situation. We're going to need to consider, and again, several town council members have added the word high priority at our last discussion, to addressing permanent changes to the RSTR ordinance. Notice we're getting too many high priorities. I feel that what we did a good job with the subdivision ordinance in addressing the small subdivisions, and a lot of time was spent discussing that. But I think, we have some tremendous vulnerabilities if somebody were to try to propose a large subdivision under our current ordinance. There's a lot of things that could be done legally with the draft that's going to be voted on in a week, but would probably not be what we want. So that's another item that we're going to have to look at, is specific rules for large subdivisions, whatever large really means. General plan, I've mentioned that already. Consideration of zoning changes. Nancy has mentioned that to me. I see that two big things there. One is purely administrative stuff that's in the zoning code that needs to be addressed. And then the broader questions of actual changes to the zones we have, the zone definitions and the zoning map. Planning Commission bylaws. I think training is another issue. By larger jurisdictions, the Planning Commission is required to have a certain number of hours of training each year. As a town, we're exempt, and that works as long as a town we don't do much, but this town gets into a lot of nitty-gritty details on ordinances, which means I think it's real important that the Planning Commission does receive some specific training on both the requirements of state law and good practice. So that's a big list. That's like 8 items. And with 12 months of meetings, that's like a one and a half. That's like getting through one and a half of these issues every, or every month and a half getting through one of these issues. That's a lot. I'm hoping that what I can do is offer to make sure that the communication from the town council is better, and that the town council and the planning commission work together to address issues more efficiently. I think one of the things that would help, especially in avoiding these double meetings, is if the planning commission did more appointing work committees with a specific deadline and charter to do substantial work between the meetings, so that things come to the meetings as well-formulated proposals. And I think we have a good model of that with what happened with the pedestrian path. What worked really well with that is that at the start, they were very insistent that they understood what the constraints were and what the goals were that they had to accomplish. They developed clear alternatives. They didn't just lock into one thing and discuss it ad infinitum. They had very clear, distinct alternatives, some of which were rather ambitious and some which were rather restrictive, but it was a good range of alternatives. They got community input on those alternatives, which also allowed for synthesizing between the alternatives. And then they also didn't agonize over a lot on the ultimate political decision, but both the pedestrian path subcommittee and the planning commission as a whole both basically deferred the ultimate controversial political decision to the town council, which had the ultimate say in the end anyway. So that was a good model of working fairly efficiently on what was started out as an incredibly complicated and controversial issue. And I hope that could be used as a model in the future. Along the line of better communication, I would like to suggest that in January, when you set your schedule for your annual schedule for regular meetings, you consider putting the Planning Commission 2 weeks after the Town Council instead of one. That would allow a little more time for preparation if Town Council sends something to planning. And that would also mean less time between a Planning Commission action and when it goes to the Town Council, because then the interval would be always 2 weeks between planning town council and planning commission, and then depending on the calendar, either 2 or 3 weeks between planning commission and the next town council instead of 3 or 4. So that's what I have for tonight, unless you have some questions or other things I should address.
Thanks, John. I suppose you might as well give us the short introduction to the RSTR directive from the town council.
Okay, thank you. This was done in a little bit of a non-traditional order, in that there was an urgency on the part of the town council to address this, which meant I had to unilaterally request a hearing before the town council even had time to discuss it, in order to get it posted 10 days before tonight's meeting. That's an example of why having 2 weeks between the meetings would be more efficient. The bottom line is that we have, let me get the notes here. From what Jessica gave me, 7 known short-term rentals, RSTRs, plus we have 3 guest ranches, 2 campgrounds, and 1 bed and breakfast. So, but all of those do involve short-term lodging. For the RSTRs, the ordinance explicitly requires having a CUP, an annual CUP renewal, a business license, and annual documentation that the business is in fact operating, that the business isn't just sitting idle. And the criteria for that was to document that the sales and resort and transient room tax were being paid. Of the 7, none have had an annual CUP renewal on a regular basis by the PC. At least 2 of them lack business licenses, and only 1 has provided documentation of paying the sales and transient room tax. On the other hand, this is people's income. So there's a need to balance following our own rules and giving some certainty to people who've invested in a in an RSTR business and have remodeled and so forth to have it and set up the website, that they give them the assurance that yes, the org will be allowed to continue to operate and the town's not going to pull the rug out from under them right at the start of another tourist season. So that's the urgency. The proposal that's on hand would say that those who have business licenses get already get them renewed. That might not work for somebody who has a CUP but no business license. So that's something that will have to be considered. The important provision is that the existing business licenses would get renewed for one more year under their draft proposal, and that no new applications would be considered for the next year. I feel that this does require a legislative action, that we can't just say to the town clerk, well, ignore the ordinance that we have and go ahead and issue the business licenses. The town council needs to back up the staff by a legislative action saying that that was what we are in fact authorizing. But within that, there's the devil's in the details of how we do it and what we include and so forth. But I think my concerns are to be respectful of people's business interests, recognize that tourism rentals from resort tax and transient room tax are important for the town, but also having a process that's workable for the staff to administer, that the staff is in fact working within what is authorized by the legislative body, and that we go for as going forward, we come up with an RSTR ordinance that's workable. That's really not on the table tonight. And what I intend to do is circulate with the town council a draft of lists of concerns that have been called to my attention, let the town council members provide input on that, and discuss that as a body before we send that back to the Planning Commission as far as a list of priorities, concerns, constraints, and so forth, much as we did with the Pedestrian Path Committee, that we discussed what we thought needed to be accomplished and then gave it to the Planning Commission to do their statutory duty of getting public input and formulating recommendations. So that's sort of the high-level view on that memo.
Okay, thank you. All right, I lost my agenda here. Public comments on agenda items other than the hearing. So does anyone have a comment on the other agenda items, I guess the general, which includes the general plan. Nobody in the audience, anybody online have comments on agenda items other than the hearing we're having on the RSTR code? All right. I'm not seeing anybody jump up and down to do this, so. Let's move on to agenda item 8, which was an opportunity to talk about this RSTR code since it was handed to the Planning Commission without any previous discussion on our part. And I wanted us all to sort of talk it through before we go into the public hearing. And then after we hear public comments, we can have further discussion and consider what actions we might want to take, if any. So I'd like to hear any thoughts that Daryl or Tina or Colleen have on what's been passed on to us by the town council.
This is Tina.
I hear you.
Well, I agree with John that it definitely needs to be put in front of the community itself as far as what the problems are and get input from them. And as we just got this information basically
in written form yesterday, I think it's very hard for the Planning Commission to feel like they are going to get, you know, clear input from the community. Sounds like John feels that some of these issues need to be confirmed by the town council before, and that there's going to be something that happens at the town council level before the Planning Commission will actually get the job. Is that my understanding? Anyway, I'm a little confused at where we're going with this as a Planning Commission. I see the concerns that the town has, but I don't want to be put in a position where we're jumping on this without clear backup from, you know, the community in general as far as what regulations we need to change that we have in place now. So I feel it's a little rushed. Feels a little rushed for us to make any kind of decision at this point. We've had some, also I would like to say that we've had some issues with rushing into changing ordinances beforehand, before really getting, you know, good public information or understanding of what we're really dealing with. So I'm a little hesitant to jump in without, unless the town council gives us really direct, I mean, what the town council wants.
Colleen or Daryl, you have comments on this?
So, I also agree. We can see here in the room that this is an issue that it's not just cut and dry and easy. There's a lot of competing interests, and doing this in a rushed manner will be hard, to say the least. It's hard. We're just weeks from the end of the year, and trying to get it done and get it done right may prove to be difficult.
So I feel like there's some confusion on what we're doing. Like I would like to ask you, Daryl, basically, so I feel like we need to make sure that what we're talking about is what John proposed, this ordinance provision in plain language, the whereas statements, and that's what we're talking about doing right now.
So the way I read this, and when I first got this memo, my reaction was, oh my God, we have to write an ordinance. We have to go through the full RSTR code, do the underline and the cross out and so on, and have that available for hearing tonight. And I started to do that and stumbled as I was writing the whereas. The town finds the current rules need to be revised. And I went, why? Because what? And then I read a little further in the document, and basically, procedurally, they're asking us to discuss this approach of modifying our ordinance, and then have a hearing, and then new language, the cross out and underline the way you formally craft an ordinance, would be prepared and noticed for the January 2nd town council meeting. So they would have the ordinance. So that's what this request says.
Okay, so the thing that I'm confused about is John wrote this memo, residential short-term rentals, whatever. And what he's asking us to do is these statements 1 through 7. We're not going into the actual short-term rental code to make any changes.
Yes, we are.
Okay, well, that's not what John is asking us to do. So what has happened is that there are mistakes in, not mistakes, what would you call them? Misunderstandings in our, in 153.204. So in 153.204, there are things that have been found by the town clerk, and I think even John, that need to be changed because of, and they are in the proposed language that John presented to the town council on December 5th. Is that correct? And they are 1 through 7. And that's all that he is asking us to look at right now. Where he is not asking us to change 153.204 at all. Because of what's happened with Jessica, the town clerk, having to provide yearly, like John said, there has never been CUPs looked at on a yearly basis. A couple of them don't have business licenses, and we know that. So we, as a town, we now know that. That there are some mistakes, not mistakes, but things that need to be updated in our RSTRs. So they're not asking us to do any kind of changes in the code right now. What they're trying to do is for a year, look at these things that are 1 through 7, because the town, because we've talked about it, the town is now liable or knows that these changes need to be made. But we're not changing the ordinances at all tonight. All we're doing is looking at what John wrote in this proposed ordinance provision. And what they're trying to do is just suspend doing anything right now with our RSTRs for a year so that the town clerk can figure out what needs to be done. And so it's the beginning of changing any changes that need to be done in the residential short-term rentals. And so I feel like there's confusion. Like, we're not doing anything with 153.204. We're making an ordinance to hold off on letting anybody use this ordinance right now because of the faults that are in 1 through 7. Is that my understanding? And is that, like, I feel like there is confusion.
So an ordinance.
What the town is asking us to do is 1 through 7. They're not asking us to do anything with 153.204.
They're asking that 153.204 C, D, E, and G be suspended.
Right.
Which means you'd cross them out of our ordinances, or you have to write an ordinance to make these changes.
They're just being but the wording is temporarily suspended for right now until the clerk can and figure out what they're going to do.
Right.
So we don't have to, I feel like this is, so they're just being temporarily suspended for a year.
Why?
But also because, read number 5 when you want to say that.
Yeah. So number 5, no new RST applications will be processed while this temporary ordinance is in effect.
Right, which is a moratorium on RSTRs.
To her why this is happening, or John?
I understand why, Colleen. Okay.
So for me, I think that the town needs to do this just for a year so that we can figure out I just feel like there's, like, I don't know. I'm just having problems because we're not really changing the RSTRs like we're maybe perceiving that we're doing. We're just trying to save the town from maybe some problems. I mean, why do we want to have any kind of RSTRs go into effect when we know that there's some problems? So that's my only comment. I'm not asking for, you know, like, I think I understand why this is happening, and I feel like it's probably a good thing for the town to do because we know that there are some issues. And that's kind of my only comment.
And if I can really fast, the town clerk, asked for this. So in the past year, there are people who have tried renewing their CUP or their RSTR license, or have asked to get a new one, or have changes. And when I, the clerk, have looked through the ordinance, the information that was given to the RSTR applicant owners did not match what had been asked of them. So through renewal process or carrying on those things.
Wait, stop. When was that information given to the owners that didn't match what was?
I'm not sure because I wasn't here. I have no idea. So whenever someone decided that a RSTR would be renewed through a business license, that was not written in an ordinance. The ordinance does not match that. And so on the side of that, I am the one who gets the person who is upset about the way that things are held. And then it becomes my liability, which is the town's liability. And so I have not been able to have the correct information to renew them, to tell someone yes or no, you can apply for a new one. Something as simple as in the ordinance, and I don't have it in front of me, so I don't want to quote it, but there is a certain percentage that we go off of in each zone. There is a percentage of how many RSTRs are allowed in that zone. When someone comes and says, can I have a new one? There's a list, there's all these things. That information is not clear. So when do we gather that information? So like the percentages of each one in each zone, when do we calculate that? Was that calculated only when they very first made the ordinance? Now, today? So there's a little bit of confusion, and those are big things. And so I cannot actually answer a person that, can I get a CUP? I'm not actually positive because I don't know how many are in there. And I can come up with that on my own. I can go through and start pulling numbers, but there's not the ordinance to support that. And so I will not do that as the clerk. I am not willing to take on that liability. And so I have asked the town council to help support as a clerk, as the staff, to be able to do this. Now, this is not changing the actual RSTR ordinance at all, as the whole. It is the intent that was written in the RSTR ordinance is there. That is not what's being asked. There are just many things within the ordinance that are very, very important on the operating side. Now, a lot of these are administrative, but they do exist within the ordinance. And so when we talk about this, I mean, in the very first paragraph, it says executive summary. It says a temporary ordinance, which would sunset after 1 year. When the public hearing notice went out, it says temporary residential short-term rental ordinance. It is a new ordinance on its own. It is not asking to change the RSTR ordinance itself. Now, there are parts of it that need to be temporarily suspended, but those parts are only going to reflect the RSTRs that are already in existence as long as number 5 stays in, which says no new RSTRs. So yes, they are saying things that have to do with ownership, residency, limitations on numbers, but those only affect the RSTRs we already have currently today and not any new ones as long as that stays into place. So I just kind of wanted to make that clear because I can hear some of the public here that's asking why. And that's, I mean, I'm the one who asked for this to go into place as the staff, and that liability that the staff has and the town.
So let me ask some questions of you, Jessica. So how many new requests have you had for RSTRs? Because I was told there is no waiting list. I mean, there isn't.
There isn't. So there is no waiting list, but that doesn't mean that they've gone through with it.
So you've had multiple requests for a new RSTR?
Yeah, of people saying, hey, I'm thinking about putting in an RSTR. Is that something that I could do or that I couldn't do? No one has filled out the application all the way through and said that I want it, but they have come forward and said, you know, what does the wait list look like? Can I do that? I know that there's a certain amount in zones.
And is there an application?
There is no, she has, a CUP. She just said they don't have an application.
Conditional use permit. But the interesting thing too, is the application for the CUP shall contain the following licenses, information, and exhibits properly verified and sworn to by the owner. So anytime we've gotten an application, it's almost made by the applicant. As far as, I mean, it, like I said, and I think that we have a great RSTR, but now that I see and it's been used now, there are things that need to be done in it. Like I said, I think there's confusion as far as we're not changing the RSTR.
But we are. You can't say you're going to suspend, write an ordinance to suspend requirements in an existing ordinance and then say that you're not changing it. You are. But you're changing the requirements.
But all we're doing is for a year, we're looking at these provisions here. This is a totally separate language than our RSTR 153204.
But we're
so, and that's why, like I said, that's how my understanding, and I know that, and so if there's something different that you want to do, I'm totally fine with that too. I personally have looked at this 1 through 7 and I'm okay with it. And that's really my only comment. Like I said, I think that people are a little confused about it. I don't know.
Well, it's based on the language.
An ordinance and changing an ordinance to me is not the same. And so
if you suddenly say you no longer have to meet these requirements, you've changed the ordinance.
No, what we're saying, that's not what's being said, is we're not changing anything, we're suspending them. I don't think that and change or like, and you and I have different opinions. That's all I'm saying, Nancy, is your opinion is different than what I'm seeing. And that's right. The way the law is. It's based on interpretation. So that's my interpretation of what we created. I helped create this. And so I see that there are things that now that it's been used that need to be looked at. And right. So I don't see it as being changed. That's my opinion. That's my
Daryl, you want to weigh in here?
Yeah. So these 7 clauses proposed by John, I don't know, maybe if 1A is problematic, I don't know if we strike it, because I don't think we need to roll our sleeves up, dig in and completely revise the RSTR code right now. If we just call this RSTR enforcement, and then we can say in 3 that we are suspending enforcement of provisions D, C, D, E, and G. And I don't think we have to dig in and revise the actual RSTR code. I see the appeal Colleen is talking about, that we're saying that we're just going to pause this. We're going to do what we have been doing for the last, I don't know, months, years, and give us the time and space to really figure out how do we fix this. And what is public input on this issue? Because there's clearly there's no way we could like revise the whole code in the next 2 weeks with the holidays. But
right,
this, I don't know. I really, Colleen makes some good points.
And I think Daryl is right, Colleen, with A being taken out.
Tina, do you have anything else you want to add here?
Yeah. Thank you. I have been racking my brain, and my internet's not working very well. So I would say that there's an actual way to put a hold on an ordinance, or to keep an ordinance, or to keep RSTRs as an ordinance, not to be increased. Leave it as the RSTRs that we have now, and it's a temporary thing. I don't remember how many months it is that you can do this, but my memory is that we can do this, and that if we're temporarily holding off on any new RSTRs, I would agree that that would be fine, as long as we do it in the proper procedures. That I'm sorry, I can't pick up the legalese on this at this moment, but there is a way to do that. And if that's what we're doing, and the town wants to do that as a count politically, then that's fine with me. But then we'll have a certain amount of time in which we resolve whatever issues there are now with the RS.
So I think
applications or procedures or whatever that the clerk needs.
So Tina, I think you've addressed one of the issues of a moratorium on RSTRs. And I don't know, I don't know state law on RSTRs, but there is a question about whether we can impose a moratorium. And that's, you know, if Michael was here, he could probably answer that. But the other part of this is, can you keep the existing RSTRs operating even though they're not meeting any of this code? So there's two different issues here. I mean, there are a number of things that, you know, the proposal, the request from the town council is asking.
So how do we as a town, as a planning commission, the review of the applications is coming up for this next year, correct?
Well, people aren't putting in applications. This is the problem, that apparently what's been done in the past few years is business licenses have been issued in some cases, not all cases. There are RSTRs operating that don't have business licenses. They all at some point in time did a CUP. I mean, they wouldn't have been granted an RSTR license in theory. So the other problem we have is we don't enforce pretty much anything. I mean, we don't enforce that. We know if you look on Airbnb, there are RSTRs in town that there aren't licenses for and that they never put in a CUP for. So, you know, we've got multiple issues here, many of which come down to enforcement. We haven't been following our code. And some of these are still operating. So the attempt here was to allow those that are operating to get a business license for 2025 to continue operating. Now, whether we put any conditions on those, like you have to show that you've paid transient taxes for the last year or two before you will actually get a 2025 business license, that's a different question, and that's not really addressed here. So I think there's multiple angles to this that, and whether you suspend a code, I guess I'm not enough of a lawyer to know what that really means, that you've suspended a code. And I don't know the meaning of a moratorium and whether that's legal for a year for us to do that. John, if you have any answers to those questions, you are free to weigh in here, but I wish Michael were online.
Okay, John Brath here. I've been taking notes as people have been talking, but I might miss something. So if I do, please ask me to clarify. I think Jessica clearly stated the issue. She needs clear legislative support in whatever we are asking her to do. I think, Colleen, you stated a lot of the issues quite well, but I hope I can expand on some of those things. To go to the question, have we had requests? Well, we just very recently had the request from Anson to move his RSTR from one location to the other, to another.
But that wasn't a new application.
Well, that was actually the question on the table. Was that, in fact, a new application, or was that...
never addressed that
or a transfer. So these and our ordinance and the position I had taken at that meeting was, since our ordinance was silent on whether you could transfer, you had to give the benefit of the doubt to his request. But that is an example that there are real requests and decisions that are being made based on this. As far as a moratorium, the state law says you could create a moratorium for 6 months. But that my reading of it, that only applies to things that are already uses by right. We could simply say we never will have another RSTR in this town. As a town council, we are not required to allow RSTRs at all.
Right.
So it's not truly a moratorium in the same sense that it is under state law, where you say, for example, we will not issue any new building permits, even though a single family dwelling is a use by right in the residential zone. That's the type of moratorium where the 6 month time frame would logically apply. But in any case, the town council has sort of the high priority. I hope that this can be resolved through planning in 6 months. Now, the one thing I want to make clear as far as the confusion, the only item that the town council has asked the planning commission to look at tonight is the temporary provision that does what you said, Nancy, which is allow the existing business licenses to be renewed for another year. And since we don't have a clear process for process, we have lack of clarity on the process for approving new RSTRs. During that time, we don't take any new ones. We simply renew the ones that already have been operating. That's the only item on the agenda for tonight. I think the confusion, I probably caused it, is I had given you an early draft of some of the issues that the town council wanted addressed. That really should be vetted by town council, and then really is an item for a future meeting where the issue is to rewrite the RSTR section of the code. There are many fundamental issues, just highlighting them off the top of my head. How many? Do we do it by a formula that can change year by year or a fixed number? Where should they be located?
So this is the broader RSTR discussion that we're not having tonight.
That's the ones we're not having tonight, but I want to make sure those questions
we know those.
Well, I mean, that was the confusion. That's what you're saying, well, we've got to get community input. Yes, we need to get community input on those kinds of questions, the land use question, where they should be located and how they should be regulated and so forth. Whether they should be CUPs at all is an open question.
Yep.
But for tonight, the question is, really, what do we do for 2025 with the existing RSTRs? We could say, you're all shut down. Legally, we could do it. I sure don't want to advocate that. Or we could say that only the ones who are strictly in compliance with the existing ordinance are going to get renewed. Well, that probably means that only one would get renewed, and the others would be out of luck. But I think then we're penalizing them, the RSTR owners, for the failure of the town to follow its own rules. Or we can do something like this and say, well, we will.
They know the rules. They read the code. They got the license. It's not, I mean, yes, we haven't enforced the rules, but the applicants know the rules.
We, the town, also advise them differently.
Right.
So I want to make sure, yes, we know the town did advise them differently. So.
That they didn't have to do a CUP. Someone told them they didn't have to do an annual CUP.
I don't think that's the question, is it? The thing is, so the interesting thing about this too is, so the first, so we've put the RSTR in. The first year, because I was committee chairman, we looked at the licenses again. Peg told us how many we had, and we looked at them, and they seemed to conform, because at that point, I can't even remember who our zoning administrator was at, because we had so many of them, but we did look at them, and then we never did anything with them again, ever. And so because they haven't been looked at on a yearly basis, then that's when things started. And then we had, and then when she came in and started looking, and John, that's when these things came up, because we don't, as a committee chairman, we never did anything at the beginning of the year as far as looking back on things that we have required. And this is, I think, the only thing that we ever did require something to be looked at on a yearly basis. So that's, you know, so there should be things that the town clerk, if it needs to be looked at on a yearly basis, she should know what those things are. But that didn't really come through in her job when she came into her job.
Well, because it's not written in the form.
Exactly. So those, you know, so they're, again, just like our subdivision ordinance. Once it started getting used and these things come up, this ordinance went in 2019, so it's only been 6 years. And we haven't had a lot of, so anyway, I'll stop right there. Yeah.
So it seems to me there are, I think you said three things, John, but there are two things that the town council would like to try to resolve. One is, do we have some way to continue the existing RSTRs to function in 2025? I mean, that's sort of the bottom line. So we could pass an ordinance or some resolution or do this administratively in some ways that we will issue business licenses for RSTRs that have paid transient taxes in 2024. It seems to me there ought to be some condition here that, you know, and if they haven't, they can catch up now, but that they have been paying taxes to the town in 2024, in which case we will give them a license in 2025. So that's one. And then the other is no new CUP applications will be accepted in 2025 until the Planning Commission and Town Council have a chance to revise the ordinance. So those are the two things that it seems like we're trying to solve.
Exactly. And on the first one, I think that's exactly the sort of thing where I think the input from the Planning Commission and the public is extremely welcome. Is my original draft said that we would do it for those who had been paying transient room taxes. Since our ordinance says that you can't just hold an RSTR license and not use it. In the town council meeting, the discussion led to changing that to the ones who had a business license. Maybe it should be either, maybe it should be both. I think that's the kind of thing that some input would be very welcome, because I think we want to continue the ones who are legitimately operating RSTRs and not disadvantage somebody who in good faith has started a business. So that's the kind of question that needs some input.
So has held an RSTR license, but hasn't used it.
Do we renew them or not? I'm open to feedback on that from the community. The third one was simply to give the clarity that we have a situation, the paragraph suspending parts of our ordinance simply puts the burden on the town council to tell Jessica, yes, you are allowed to ignore the fact that at least one RSTR is owned by a corporation that doesn't have its principal stockholder here in town. We have none of them have been meeting the ordinance to prove that they've been paying their taxes, because we haven't asked for the form. We are simply, as a town council, saying, Jessica, you can ignore those things. It's not on her, the burden's not on her to make the call. It's on us as a legislative body to say, yes, we are suspending those requirements for 1 year. It has a sunset date. If we don't do anything, the ordinance comes back to what it is today.
And maybe the only other thing, just really fast, I wanted to say timeline. The reason why this is coming up, and I don't think we said this, we issue business licenses next month.
And, right. I know
so
that.
Just to make sure that everyone else knew that is a thing. So when you come up with things to ask the current RSTR holders also, just to make it that realistic, or else, you know, that timeline. I just wanted to put that out there too.
And I think there's a fourth one that came up in the discussion I had with Josh late today. And that is that we need to notify all the RSTR owners, but we also need to publicize this very widely so that at the end of the year, we don't have somebody coming out of the woodwork and say, oh, I'm grandfathered because I've been running an RSTR for the last 5 years. We need to serve them notice that they are going to be expected to come into compliance with a new set of requirements in 2026 and communicate that very broadly.
Yeah, well, that was one of my suggestions, that if we notify people that they have to get a business license in 2025, and it's with the stipulation that the code is going to be updated and you will have to come into compliance with whatever updates exist in 2026. I mean, it's, you know, so yes. And the town needs, I mean, the rest of the town needs to know that we are rewriting our code and there will be new requirements or different requirements.
And I want to say, you know, I'll answer any other questions, but I want to say, even the limited discussion I've heard in the last half hour has been extremely helpful to get the additional opinions. So this is valuable to get people's opinions and concerns. And if there's confusion, the confusion should be addressed before we do it. As far as rewriting the current short temporary ordinance, I will take the burden on that one to be the scrivener who gets that one written down. But you know, then we can discuss getting you some, getting the town council needs to help the planning commission by getting you some more support for things like ordinance writing on a permanent basis.
Yeah, okay, that's a different topic.
That is. but for this ordinance, I will be the scrivener who gets it written down. What we need tonight is the feedback from the Planning Commission on the substantive issues and the policy issues. Other questions?
No, and just to be clear, okay, let's hear from the public.
I move to move the regular meeting to the public hearing.
For a second?
Close the regular meeting and move to a public hearing.
We got it, Tina. I'll second that. Any discussion? Those in favor, say aye.
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 Okay, we are now in public hearing. I think we have some members of the public who wish to speak. So rise and state your name and make your comments.
Ms. Varga. Wow. Okay. Is this better?
Okay. Turn the dial. Is a green light on?
How about that? Oh. Okay. Well, obviously, the RSTR needs work. And I think that everyone would agree on that. And I think having the work be done over the coming year in 2025 will take the pressure off everyone that feels like it needs to happen sooner rather than later. I think this is much ado about simple bookkeeping, and aside from how the RSTR needs to be changed next year. But in the short term and in the long term, all it is simple bookkeeping. So I don't understand why there's so much ado about this. As a business owner in this town for over a dozen years, I had to have a CUP. I had it renewed every year. I had to request and fill out a business license. Every year, I got a request from the town to renew my business license. It came in December. It was always the same. You paid the money and you got the business license. I'm not sure how it works now, but that's how it used to work. And we're talking about seven RSTRs. This isn't like a huge amount of things to deal with. So you get the business license. And to get the business license, I should have mentioned this first, you send in confirmation of of the taxes that you've paid the previous year. Now, this is all normal things for businesses to do. They have dates that they have to pay their taxes. They have dates that they have to renew their licenses. This isn't a hardship. This is something that all business people just do to be in business. And it doesn't seem like it's an onerous amount of work. And if you're going to be in a business, which an RSTR is, these are just the thing that this is part of how you do business. You have these deadlines, you have these responsibilities, and you have to meet the deadlines and the responsibilities. But the town has to say, what are these responsibilities and when will we require them? It doesn't seem very difficult to me. And if I'm not understanding something here, and this is separate from what has to happen next year when you actually really go through the ordinance and clean things up where you've been finding that there's problems, that's a whole different thing. But for the short term, it seems like not a big ask.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Hi, Jennifer Geerlings. I'm so sorry. We thought it was 7 o'clock. We came in, so we missed the discussion. So I apologize about that. So if I say anything you've already covered, I'm sorry. These are just the things that I had put together before we came. So great points by Lisa. Thank you. She's got experience in that area. My thing when I read this was, I really want to just acknowledge, appreciate how much John is interested and very proactive about things. And I want to acknowledge the work that he does. And I appreciate that. I do feel, I don't know how the Planning Commission feels about it, but I feel like when the ordinances are your responsibility to write those. And I think this might be a little bit backwards, that it's coming from the town council instead of from the Planning Commission. But I feel like you guys have the first shot at that. We talk about it with the public. We see if there's any problems. And then you go from there. And I certainly agree with Lisa. We've got all of 2025 to deal with what is obviously a cumbersome RSTR. Seems like nobody's been harmed by this ordinance. Nobody has, no big banners have gone up, no problems. It doesn't hurt to keep it just pretty much as it is. And then next year, as you would anything else, because this is not the only ordinance in our ordinances that is poorly written, not exactly followed through on, whatever, administrative problems. This isn't unique to our town. But so go ahead, say, hey, we've got to redo this. You guys do this next in 2025 together after you've had a chance to do it. I was glad to hear clarified that the suspension, because that wasn't clear to me when I read this, that the things that were to be suspended, the sections that were recommended, it wasn't clear to me that those would be automatically reinstated, which I had a real problem with because I felt like that's the meat of the ordinance and it might be poorly written, but those are in there for a reason. Anyway, thank you very much. And again, sorry about that time. And if you could all repeat what you said, that'd be great. Thank you.
Thanks, Jennifer. Any other comments?
My name is Jay Kelly.
Well, I agree with Lisa. Wow. I think the first thing I have a question about is, I feel really bad for the town clerk, but I guess I don't understand. With any administrative position in a town, the limits of that person's liability should be specifically stated somewhere in the town ordinances. And if it's not, that's a big problem. A town clerk sitting there saying, oh my God, I'm being hung out to dry. Are you telling me the town doesn't have an umbrella policy that covers its employees with regard to situations like this? And if it does, it should be known. And if it doesn't, then whoever the legal counsel for the town is should be looking into that. Our town exists because people, for the most part, are donating their services. And people are not going to donate their services if they think they're going to be put in legal liability when they're acting as an agent for the town. So I agree with the clerk on that one. When I look through this, I still say why, and I have to disagree with John on a couple things. The town doesn't have responsibility on this because they haven't enforced it. If I'm exceeding the speed limit, I'm breaking the law, whether I get caught or not. Okay? It's written. It's in the code. And what I'm hearing is with the current RSTRs, there's one that's in compliance. And yet you're recommending that we go ahead and just roll them over? Why? You're saying, oh, yeah, we're going to give you a pass. Why? Because the town screwed up? No, because you're not in compliance with what was in force at the time you got it. And I'm sorry if you heard a couple different stories when you came to town hall, but, you know, it was pretty clear what you needed to do. You need to be an occupant. Okay? And if you're the chief stockholder of some corporation, that's get your ass in here or send a legal representative of the corporation. It's pretty easy to do. This stuff isn't tough. Why would you suspend that? That's pretty simple. Limitations on the number and type of RSTRs allowed. There's been no applications for RSTRs that we've accepted. Why would you limit them? In fact, I would welcome them and start a list. You know, we have no list. Well, if people want to apply, they apply. And we make it known that, look, this is going to change. If you knowing that this is going to change, if you still want to apply next year, your application is on the wait list. Why? Because you were smart enough to put an application in, knowing that you may withdraw your application based on changes in the code. Doesn't seem like it's rocket science to me. So I guess on B, town wishes to allow continued operation of current short-term rentals, I would say, that are in compliance. That are in compliance with the code that was in effect at the time. Not the new one, not the stuff that's under discussion. If you're not in compliance with the code that was in effect at the time, why would we give you a pass? I don't get it. Or maybe we say, look, you get 30 days to get in compliance or we're pulling your RSTR, something like that. I think that's it for now. Thank you.
Thanks, Jay. Anyone else?
Keith Watts. I agree with everything that these folks said. The only thing I would add is what Jay said is get in compliance. It's not that big a deal. Go get your business license, get your CUP, get your taxes in order, and file things, and just do it. And it's the 12th of December. You should be able to do that by the end of the month. No big deal. and then you'll get your approval to carry on with your business next year. The zones, you know, the formula, okay, we're going to go through and redo that, but I don't see that that's that complicated a formula, and you could figure out how many are allowable in each zone. And I know that many of them still have availability. And if they do, then just let them know that the rules are going to change. A moratorium is fine. I don't know if it's essential, but that would be fine. I don't think rewriting any rules makes any sense. I think the chances of losing the baby with that bathwater is not worth the risk of suspending anything. It's simple to fix it. And if you know of people who are running VRBOs, if they're on the sites and they do not have licenses, they have not applied, they should be stopped. Oh, I'm sorry, they've got put all this into their business. Well, they didn't follow the simple rules and regulations that allows them to do that in this town. And it puts them in an advantage against the other people that are doing it right, because they may not be paying taxes. They aren't going through this not huge amount of work, but the amount of work that shows that they have done their due diligence to create a short-term rental property. So anybody that's not doing it legally, stop. And Boulder has no way of enforcing anything. That's why everybody breaks the rules. And I remember when we got the business license to start the Burr Trail Grill and Outpost, we came in, we'd completed all the forms and applications. Everything was there. It wasn't that big a deal. It took us a week. They said, don't you know it's easier to ask for forgiveness than it is to ask for permission? And it's like, but you asked for this. It wasn't that hard. Where nothing we're asking is difficult. People should just do it and move on with it and not put the town in a difficult situation like this.
Thank you, Keith. Anybody else?
Hi, Dan Pence. Okay, so you've got an ordinance that needs to be rewritten, which, as we all know, is not a rare thing here in Boulder, but nowhere along the line have I ever seen or heard talk of suspending the ordinance that's going to be rewritten, and then we'll rewrite it. Why would you not leave the ordinance in place? There's how many RSTRs? Seven? This doesn't seem like it's that huge of a deal. It seems like this is a solution in search of a problem that doesn't really exist. So, thanks. Good luck.
Thank you. Anybody else? We have a few folks, everyone in the audience has spoken. We have a few folks online. Anybody wish to make a comment in the public hearing on RSTRs? Please raise your hand. I don't see any up there, so can I have a motion to close the public hearing and return to our regular meeting?
I'll make a motion that we close the public hearing and open our regular scheduled meeting.
I'll second that, Tina.
Thanks. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. So, discussion.
I would like to make a motion that we continue with our TR, thank you, ordinance, and give the licenses that the RSTRs that we have in place, you know, if they can give their information correctly to get a business license, then they're good to go. I think the problem of, that's my motion. Sorry.
let me see if I can restate that, Tina. Right. So you're suggesting, and correct me and restate it again, but that we don't do anything with the RSTR ordinance. We continue to keep it in place as it is. We issue business licenses to those RSTRs that can demonstrate that they qualify for a business license, which includes paying taxes. Is that?
That sounds great. Yes.
Is there a second? I'll second it for the sake of discussion. So do you want to speak to the motion, Tina?
Yes, I understand the confusion that the issue that Jessica is in. I just don't think it's necessarily something. I think it truly is a clerical position on deciding, you know, where her. I'm unsure of her questions of what is actually a planning commission decision. And I know that the I think it can be solved more on a clerical level, and if that really truly is not the case, then the town needs to identify what the issue is specifically. I just feel like the planning commission is getting into a decision here that is it's not really planning commission situation. I guess I'm probably confused about what it is exactly that needs to happen, and I'll agree with the public comments that a moratorium is not necessarily the issue. It's about the reading of the ordinance that is confusing and for the clerk, basically, as far as what exactly her position is. And I actually do believe that the clerk and all employees are actually insured under the town council, under the town. I know that it's the case for all of us as volunteers. So if that's not true, that somebody correct me.
Thanks, Tina. Other discussion on this? Do you want to comment on it? I can comment on this, but Daryl or Colleen?
I think the thing is now that this issue has been brought up and it's been talked about, I think that with a lot of other things that we can take all kinds of different directions, and it's just a matter of deciding what direction to go, which we're trying to decide, I guess. And so if the planning commission doesn't want to put this in, I don't know. I think with a lot of things, it's a little confusing to me. John, I mean, you know, it's not just Jessica, it was also John, and, you know, so whatever.
It's a comment from Erin, if you want to, just to make it clear.
Yeah.
She said, so in addition to the business licenses, then we will expect to see CUP applications and the required hearings. So when you say that it's easy for someone to come into compliance, that means that all seven of those need to fill out a CUP.
No, that's not what the motion was.
No, that's not what
the motion was.
I'm just stating for the, to have them come into compliance. So we need a new one too of how that is. So that's what
she's just explaining what it is going to take for them to renew their licenses.
That's not what the recommendation was, the motion was.
I know that, but okay.
So we're talking about the motion here, which if someone wants to come in with a new proposal for an RSTR, they would have to go through the process that's outlined in the code. So the motion did not put a moratorium on RSTRs. It simply said, don't do anything with our current code, issue business licenses to existing RSTRs if they demonstrate they've met the requirements for the business license, including paying taxes.
But they have to have a conditional use permit too. That's what I'm saying.
It's, well, it's not, we're not saying they need.
I totally understand what you're saying, but I'm saying that, so okay.
We're treating it as an administrative process. So good. If you come up to the microphone, John.
Okay, first one, as a point of order, the Planning Commission's role is to provide recommendations to the Town Council. The way the motion was worded, it was, this is what we will do.
No,
the recommendation can be easily reworded as the Planning Commission recommends X, okay. Y, and Z.
John, that's not helpful. We know that.
Oh, well, but if the motion comes as it is, I don't know what I would do with it at Town Council except reject.
It won't come as it is.
So that's the first point of order. The second one is, if you're not going to get overridden by the Town Council, which is a problem, I don't like doing it, you need to give some persuasive argument of why the Town Council should do what you are recommending. So that actually needs to be part of the motion, or as part of the transmittal of the motion, is some clear persuasive arguments of why you are recommending something. The third one is the way the motion was worded. I was listening to it. I said, I am not sure how the town clerk would interpret the way that motion was worded, or how the town council would give direction to the town clerk based on that. So that's the point of order comments. We need some clarification. Example is the one you brought up. Okay, the ordinance says they have to have a new application has to have a CUP.
John, would you let the Planning Commission have this discussion, please? It's not your role. No, I know he is, but we know this too. So we will work. We're working on this. We're still discussing the motion. We can amend the motion.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Thank you.
If you have something substantive that relates to, you know, something we've misconstrued, then
okay,
please share that.
Okay, I will share that there are going to be, first thing, since the ordinance has not been followed over multiple years, if somebody applies today, the first questions that come up, are we going to give them the fact that they didn't comply in 23 and 22 and 21? We need some clarification on that. Another one is that a few of them, for structural reasons, cannot come into compliance with some provisions of the ordinance. Do we notify those people they have to shut down? Do we send out the enforcement officer to shut them down? I don't know. As a town council member, that's going to be a concern if we don't renew these. So, I would need some persuasive argument of why we should shut down somebody's RSTR before I supported that. Enough. I'm speaking too much.
Oh, go ahead.
Darryl.
So, Jay made some good comments, and I agree entirely that I absolutely want clarity in our code. I want, if it's in the code, I want it enforced. However, we're not ship shape. We are not there's a lot of things that we haven't done correctly. And we also live in a unique place where some people don't, for a significant portion of our town, there are you know, unexpected financial hits are a huge deal. So if, and it's not just the owner of whoever runs the RSTR, maybe it's the person who helps out and cleans, and things like losing that work could be a significant hit. And to just right here today, make a decision on that. I agree with John that's a tough sell. So my inclination is to just, give us the time to figure this out. We can figure this out as a town. It's absolutely doable. To shut people down, that's a bridge too far. It's not gonna, I don't know. And the sting of suspending some ordinances, I think the sting from that is taken out by the fact that we have a moratorium on it. So it's not going to, it's really just kind of hitting the pause button to allow us to evaluate this and figure it out and give people plenty of notice so that if they are gonna lose a stream of income, that they've got months to figure out how to replace that income rather than 2 weeks. And also rather than having 2 weeks to figure out how am I going to pay X amount of dollars for my taxes. So I agree. We should be doing things the right way. However, on December 12th, telling someone, I don't know how much money they would have to pay if they have been negligent in paying their taxes. But I don't know. That'd be a really rotten Christmas present to get.
So I'm going to try to make an amendment to the motion that's on the table and maybe separate the two, what you said in your motion, Tina. And so protocol here, or parliamentary procedure, I may not get this quite right, but I'm going to make an amendment that we make a motion to amend the motion on the table to say Planning Commission makes a recommendation to the Town Council to keep the current RSTR code in place and direct the Planning Commission to prioritize revisions to the code in 2025. So that would be what, and I can make this a really complicated motion. I guess I'll put the second part in there. And to issue business licenses to existing RSTRs if they demonstrate that they have paid the transient taxes to the town in 2024.
I will accept the amendment. Is that?
You can second the amendment.
Okay, I'll second the amendment.
And I'll speak to it. I mean, Daryl, I hear what you're saying. It's a bad time of year. It's a bad time of year to be doing any of this. I mean, this is a hard time of year to be suddenly faced with making a lot of code changes. It does seem to me, as we heard from some of the public comment, that this is bookkeeping. I mean, it's, you know, sort of keeping track of who has licenses and, you know, who pays taxes. And we should be doing that. I mean, that's the way we make the revenue for the city. And if we're not doing that, that's a big problem. That's a different problem than what we're trying to solve right now. If they're running a business, if they've got a business license, they should be paying taxes. I mean, the IRS doesn't excuse you from paying taxes because you forgot. I mean, they'll come back and fine you. We're not going to ask people to, you know, come and pay things that are beyond what they should have been paying anyway on the income that they've been making. So, I don't know when business licenses, I mean, we could give them a buy and say until January 31st, they could get a new business license if that makes it more palatable for them to pay up. I don't know how many, actually, Jessica, let me ask you two questions. According to one of the speakers, it's always been a requirement that taxes be paid before they get a business license. Do you do that? Do we track that?
How would you pay taxes before you even have a business?
Well, to get your renewal for the next year.
Oh, a renewal. Sorry, you said when you got a business license.
When you get your renewal of a business license, you demonstrate that you've paid your taxes.
No, that is not a requirement that the town asks.
I thought I heard somebody say it was in the past, but...
It is not a requirement.
Well, maybe we should look into this. But do we know how many RSDRs have not paid taxes?
No, because we have not asked them of it. At least I, Jessica, will take accountable for what I have. In the past years, I have been responsible for reissuing business licenses once since I have been in this seat, and I did not ask for them at that time because they had never been asked, and it was just advised to me to send out the notice and give them to them. So I have never asked for them.
So we don't know if any of these business... If we...
If you're on number four, it does state that
they have to show evidence.
Payment of sales and use tax to the state tax commission.
Correct. And so this was my point, is that I can read that just as well as you can and see that they need to do that. But what was advised of me to do from the last clerk was to just issue out the business licenses to send them out, and that they did not have to give that. And so that is exactly what I followed. And then looking into it, that is not what the ordinance stated. So yes, I just as well as everyone else can read exactly what the ordinance states, but that is not what was ever told to any of these RSTR holders.
It was a training issue here in terms of, you know, what was previously being done.
And then
but
in the
there's
ordinance,
no reason we could not say, given the ordinance does say the owner shall provide a copy of the quarterly sales tax returns filed with the state's tax commission, that we could say in 2025, in order to get your license, you need to do that.
100%.
And not do, you know, we're not going to make you go through a CUP right now because we know there's problems with all of that. But
you're just going to pick and choose. So we'll just pick and choose what will be the easiest for the town at this point.
And easy for the applicant. I mean, easy for the RSTR. I mean, I'm not interested in shutting them down at this point either. So, but if they're running a business, they should be paying these taxes and, you know, show them to the town that they've paid these taxes in order to get a renewed license. Yeah. And that's basically what the motion said.
Yes. The only other thing too that I just want to bring up, because it's part of John's. So if you don't adopt John's, so if you don't put this one into effect, then it eliminates number five. So there will be our new applicants can apply. There is a part of the ordinance, something so simple as that percentage, the percentage that says of this many houses, this many RSTRs are allowed to be
right
there. Who gets to decide what that calculation is based off of? And so, if not, then can the Planning Commission just take that into consideration as they pass that on to the town council? Because like when do you base that number off of? Because that was something that was asked of us as staff. That was really hard. Like who calculates that number? And when? So was it based off of when the RSTR ordinance went into place, right now, currently in this moment, annually, biannually? And so just if you're going to allow new applications, I do feel like there's a couple things. And that's one of the biggest ones, is that if someone applies tomorrow, how do you say yes or no to them in certain zones? Because it's not clear on that part.
Right. Well, I think this is a major concern in that, well, we could make another motion that says we won't take any applications rather than having a really complicated amendment to an amendment to a motion. I do think this is a big issue. I mean, I asked Aaron at some point, what is the number? I mean, what's 15% of the dwellings occupied by permanent residents. I mean, who knows that? So I do think this needs to be revised. So I wouldn't have a problem with saying we won't accept new applications if someone wants to make that motion, but we have a motion on the table. So, and I can reread the motion on the table if you want me to. So the amendment that's on the table is the Planning Commission makes the recommendation to the Town Council to keep our current RSTR code in place and direct the Planning Commission to prioritize revisions to the code in 2025 and to issue, I guess, the town clerk, we're saying, to the Town Council and issue business licenses to existing RSTRs if they demonstrate that they've met the business license requirements, including paying taxes. And I don't know if there are any other business license requirements other than that. I don't know what they are, but you would know that on the application form.
It is in that ordinance that you have right there. Well, no, that is not to every business license. That is specifically written in the RSTR ordinance.
Yeah, I'm
so,
not.
So like of the renewal. Yeah, so this is only to do with the RSTRs. They right. are different than other business licenses. There is another, there's more requirements to get a business license. So maybe you want to verify that. Or if not, and you just want to say that they paid taxes, that's fine. However you want to.
Well, I said existing requirements, including paying taxes. So okay. if there are existing requirements for a business license for an RSTR, then they would need to meet those.
Well,
so
then that would
to do a CUP.
That well, that's a circle. It comes back to the question of like, well, what is 15%? Because that's one of the requirements in the code. Like, so we're if you
no,
say,
they have one already. They've been in existence in 2024. Sure. So we're not sort of figuring out whether there's.
But the language of the motion says that they meet the requirements for a business license. Therefore, they meet every single requirement in the RSTR code. And that's an open question because we think that actually a fair number of these seven do not meet the requirements.
But can I just say something here?
Yes.
I have a comment. So we're talking about the people who have an RSTR now. They have been counted in the percentage already, right? And they don't lose that unless they don't reapply for a business license, is my understanding of how that has been working. Is that correct?
That's the question though, right? Is when does that number change? What if that number changed and they're no longer...
Well, we know there aren't going to be fewer, right? I mean, because there's more houses being built all
except
the time.
That, it says in there full-time residents. That's right. Part of the calculation. So yeah, there's right. houses being built all the time, but not necessarily full-time residents.
But when they got their business license, it was under the guise that no RSTR was given until, you know, unless they were within the percentage at this time.
Correct.
Or at the time that they got it. So that doesn't necessarily change unless you want to go back and say, well, this house is no longer a full-time residence, therefore we can't count it, therefore somebody has to be dropped off the list. I don't think we can do that.
Or because it was asked to renew your CUP every single year, and so you were not guaranteed to have that license past 1 year, and that number could have changed and made it so that you no longer had an RSTR. That's how it's
no, I don't think it. I think that that's an interpretation, and the interpretation that I had was that if you got an RSTR when you actually made that application, that RSTR would be okay if you continue to get and renew your application every year, showing that you did follow the RSTR requirements. And that didn't have anything to do with any change within your community, how would we enforce that? I mean, who would get dropped if we went back that way?
Right. So the seven RSTRs that you referred to, or John referred to, they all did CUPs at one point in time, right?
Yep. Correct.
They're all legitimate RSTRs. And so, and then some of them have been better than others at doing a CUP again, maybe only one of them, right? Well, one of them, Anson did.
He just did a new one, so he did not renew one.
He never renewed it in all the years that he had.
No.
6 years. And so for 6 years, we've been giving them business licenses and saying, you're good to go.
Some, but because that wasn't written in the ordinance, there's two that have never pulled a business license because, or they've never pulled one with the town because it was not a requirement of your.
It is a requirement. It's a requirement in the code. You have a business license and a sales tax number. Issued a proof of payment. So it's in the code.
I wonder why, maybe because their specific one was when they were grandfathered in. So I'm not positive then. It's just these two specific ones.
These are the two in the subdivision.
Yeah, that were grandfathered in. So a lot of the rules didn't apply.
So I would be inclined to say you need to get a business license. I mean, even for those two.
Yes.
You know, they may never have had one. So you've got five that are going to be renewing business licenses and two that are going to get new ones. Mm-hmm. And you ask them to demonstrate that they've paid their taxes. And that's it. I mean, it's, you know, they're going to get a buy until next year. Yeah, for the next year. And they're going to get a buy on the rest of this, but we've been doing it this way for 5 or 6 years. So
yeah, just to make sure, because your motion said if you're following it as it's been asked, right? Or what's the wording that you use? Because
issue business licenses to existing RSTRs if they demonstrate they've met the business license requirements, including paying taxes.
So that's the part that I just want to find, because to read that in the ordinance, what does it say is the requirement for an RSTR business license?
It says a business license. It doesn't say an RSTR business license. It just says a business license and a sales tax number issued or proof of payment of taxes.
So even right there, it says or, so they never actually had to.
They never had to have a business license. Well, that may
or
be, or that may be related to the sales tax number.
Okay.
A business license and a sales tax number issued or proof of payment of taxes. So maybe you don't have a
renewal.
Sales.
It defines like how to renew.
Yeah. It says for a renewal, you have to provide a copy of the quarterly sales tax returns filed with the state's tax commission.
That's it.
That's for a renewal of a CUP application, but we're not going to require them to do a CUP application.
Totally. Okay. So a person that is already has one, we are giving a business license as long as they're proving that they have paid their taxes.
Right. For the next year.
The next 1 year. Yep.
And what's the timing on that? Like, can they, so if they can't get around to paying all the taxes until Valentine's Day, can they still get a business license in February? Or so when
we didn't put a time on it, so in theory they could, right?
Except for that the business licenses go out once a year and they're going out in like a week or two, and they have to have them filled out by the end of the month.
By the end of
January.
The end of January. So
the end of January. If my process would be, if you didn't meet it, then you apply for a new one. But that doesn't really work with what's happening.
So given we're doing this, could we change the business license process for these seven RSTRs
that it could be
by the end of February?
Yes.
That's an administrative thing you could do. We don't have to put that in code or direct you.
Well, I don't have the ability to just decide when business licenses go in or not, just on my own without anyone else.
Who would decide? I mean, that's
the town council does, right? Through
do they have rules on when business licenses have to be renewed? It seems like it's bookkeeping. Like,
okay, that's fine.
Yeah, I would expect that too. But in this case, given we've got a mess and we're trying to fix it and we're trying to give them some leeway, if we said,
yeah,
you know, you said on these 7 RSTR notices that they have until Valentine's Day or whatever the right number is, February 15th.
That it's okay that they lapse and we will still give a life or a business license.
Right.
Okay.
So we have a motion on the table.
So yeah, I'd be fine. I would go for the motion if we can strike the language of saying meets all the business requirements, but just say that you pay your taxes and give them a little bit extra time.
Okay, so we can amend the amendment. We can withdraw. Okay, if the body agrees that we can withdraw the two motions.
I withdraw my motion.
Okay, and is there agreement? Is there a second to withdraw the motion? I'll make the second since I made one of the motions. All those in favor of withdrawing the current motions on the table, say aye.
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 Okay. So let's try again. So the motion would be, we recommend to the town council to maintain the current RSTR code in place and direct the planning commission to prioritize revisions to the code. And we could just leave it at that. And issue business licenses to existing RSTRs if they demonstrate that they've paid taxes in 2024.
By February.
I mean, we don't have to say that though. I think that's an administrative thing that she can do.
Because they won't get their business license until they actually get their taxes in.
Yeah.
Right.
Not that they're going to stop renting rooms until they get their business license, but that's a whole different issue. So do I have a second?
I second that. Tina.
All right. Further discussion.
And so we said the, if there's like a moratorium on.
We can do that as another
separate issue.
Motion. Yeah. Any further discussion on this motion? It's a clean one.
Yeah,
let's vote on this one. Okay. Are you ready to vote? All those in favor of the motion on the table signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Okay. Someone else want to make a motion about?
I make a motion to
recommend to the town
council. To recommend to the town council a moratorium on approving new RSTR applications until the town council passes RSTR amendments in 2025.
I'll second that.
Okay, so discussion?
Yes. Go for it, Tina.
Okay, so we're asking to put a moratorium on RSTRs, and basically it's to actually relook at our ordinance that we have now and and decide how to identify where other RSTRs are allowed in Boulder based on something. We don't even know what that is. Is that correct?
Well, we would have to talk about the changes in the code. We just made a motion that tells the town council to prioritize changing the code, and we would have to talk about whether the current formula we have in place is the right one or whether there's another way to figure out how many RSTRs. But that doesn't affect the motion that's on the table.
Right. Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. I'm good.
So I want to see if I can repeat your motion, Daryl. So before we have a vote on it, make a recommendation that we recommend to the town council that they put a moratorium on new RSTRs until the town council adopts revisions to the RSTR code in 2025, something like that.
That's great.
Yeah. You said it differently,
but... Yeah, I did. So did you write it down the other way?
Yeah, he said passes a complete.
Passes a complete, so... What's the rest of it, Jessica?
Ordinance.
Passes a complete
RSTR
ordinance? Yeah. Okay.
In 2025.
I want to get this right. We recommend that the town council put a moratorium on new RSTRs until the town council passes a complete revised RSTR ordinance in 2025.
Yes.
Is that you? Ex- Okay. Further discussion. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Okay. Unanimous passage of two recommendations. And I think we're moving on our agenda. And I will put the documentation that supports these in the transmittal to the town council, much of which was expressed in the public and in our discussion here. So, and hopefully we do have liability insurance, Jessica, so that you are covered.
We do, but that doesn't mean that I ever want to go through that process over something like just spending the time rewriting an ordinance.
Yeah.
So I do appreciate, I wanted to say, I appreciate all of you hearing me, listening to that and making the changes that are needed today and then in the future, because yes, we do carry that. That is nothing I have interest in doing. So,
right.
Thank you.
Okay. Number 11, general plan update. So I'm assuming you all read the general plan in detail and have. I did. I actually did. It's not bad. There are things that need to be updated. So, numbers like population and, housing units. And so there's new census data. It struck me as I read it that there are things in our subdivision code that disagree with our general plan. And that's a whole different issue. And I don't want to change the general plan so that it aligns with our subdivision code, but I think we need to figure out as we move forward, and a lot of it is about ag land protection and, the rural quality of life and things like that. I think we've got to figure out a way to sort of highlight those if they really are meaningful to the community in Boulder. So anyway, let's talk a little bit about process. So after I read through it, it struck me that it's in pretty good shape. I mean, there are things that I think need to be tweaked. And so I had two thoughts. One was, should we have a public meeting, not a hearing, but a meeting on our general plan and ask the public to weigh in on whether it still aligns with their values. I mean, to me, it was a way, because for us to decide, it looks fine, doesn't seem quite appropriate. But so that's one thought. The other thought is that one of us, some of us, a committee of us, goes through and starts to dig out the census data and the population. I mean, makes the changes where we know it needs to be updated to reflect current reality and not what was the reality in 2016 or 2010, which is what some of the numbers are. So I don't know. Those are two thoughts I had on potential approaches, but I'd like to hear your input.
This is Tina. Can I start?
Yes.
I agree that there's a lot of statistics that need to happen. There's also some cleanup that needs to happen. I would like to be able to have a document, which I can't seem to get on my setup here, where we can actually make comments like we've done in the past few ordinances, that we can do first before we actually have a community meeting, so that somehow we relate the things that we know need to change to the community, and then see if we can get any added discussion on other issues we might have missed, like you suggested. But I think for me, I'd like to start by actually getting input on in a written form for changing things.
So we should put it. We should put it in Google Docs, and so you can edit it. Is what you're saying? Suggesting.
That's right.
Okay.
And then once we're okay with that edit, we could actually. I think we can actually allow. Public input on it, not input on it, but actually let the public see that for starters. Yeah. And then they can make comments on anything else that might need to be changed or they feel need to be changed, or okay. It just gives them an idea of what we're looking at, and then get their input more clearly based on what's actually in the ordinance.
Right. Okay.
In the past, we've had the committee. I think that what we did this time with the Voices of Boulder, I think maybe there should be, I mean, I started to do some, you know, taking out information that I got from those comments and maybe putting it in a category that we can look at too, because I think that shows a process that we've done for the community. What was the other thing I was thinking? Yeah, and then you're right. There's some data that needs to be collected. I'm happy to help with that too.
Okay. Okay. So. You weren't in the room, Jessica, but I suggested we could have a public meeting, get some public input in it. In general, I think it's in pretty good shape. There's data that needs to be updated. The Voices of Boulder, I don't think either of you have made it to, there's been three of them now. There was one last night. And we're going to try to do another one maybe the second week in January. The library has all of the talks. So they're 15-minute talks. We've had approximately 15 people speak. They've been really interesting. People telling their stories about what brought them to Boulder, what's kept them in Boulder, and what they see about the future of Boulder. So I would encourage you to listen to those. I can send you the link to the stories if you want me to. And we've had maybe 35 people in the audience each of those three nights we've done it. It's been very well attended. So I'd encourage you to think about coming and listening. And you are more than welcome to actually tell your stories too. I can put you on the agenda. I mean, it's so, you know, some people have been here a long time, some not so long, some are old, some are young, some are.
I got here because my vehicle broke down in Boulder. And...
Well, that's a good story.
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, there have been all different, you know, Raymond said, I'm here because of biology. I mean, it's, you know, so anyway, it's been useful. But Tina's suggestion is that we call some of the insights and stories about what people value in Boulder. Last night, it was a whole lot about intergenerational, the fact that, you know, you get the opportunity to interact multi-generationally in the community, and that's a really valuable aspect of life here. Anyway, I'm putting in a plug for it because it's been fun and interesting to hear these stories. So I think that's a good idea, Tina. We can get this into Google Docs. We could put it in the folder for our January 9th meeting. As a place, or we could create a separate, maybe create a separate folder for it, Jessica,
yeah.
General plan folder, and you know, put
and
the document.
Go out to the public?
Well, Tina suggested we all take a look first and make comments.
And then I think I liked your idea too, where maybe we could send out a public notice, letting people know that we are, you know, updating the general plan and that they should take a look at it. If they have any input, that we could have a meeting.
Yeah.
So that.
Yeah. So we get
that
opportunity.
Something where it was like an informal. Like
yeah.
It's not a public hearing, but it's
not a hearing. It's just a meeting.
Yeah. And that's super helpful.
Yeah. Okay. Does that seem like a reasonable starting point?
Yeah.
Then you can all read it in depth and.
So with the general plan, I guess I'm always very leery of giving people there are people who would love to demand that everyone's house is painted purple because they really like purple, right? And giving that person the false hope that, oh, you have, you know, we're going to make everything purple in Boulder. Like that's the last thing I want. That's just a royal headache. They don't have the legal rights to do it. And you're trampling on other people's rights. And so I don't know. When we talked earlier about training, I think I don't know, like a property law class or things like that, learning fundamental concepts like property rights are a bundle of sticks. And what does it mean? And we, as a planning commission, we don't grant or it's like being very cognizant of the fact that when we put pen to paper, odds are we might be messing with or even taking away a stick from someone's property rights. I am nervous about if it's just aspirational flowery language that's being updated. I don't see the utility in that. And I think it's actually playing with fire. I do think there is value in really articulating like planning for how we can grow so that the town grows in the way we want to and not without pandering to really unreasonable and things that have no legal foundation.
Have you read it? I mean, have you looked at it?
Some. I have read at least some. Okay.
Okay.
I do. Yes.
Because it's pretty high level. I mean, it's sort of goals and policies. We don't say purple in there anywhere.
I know we don't say purple, although the other document talked about harbors. So I'm really excited about having a harbor for Lake Powell here in Boulder. We can beat Bullfrog and I don't know. So I did read some of it.
So, and I get what you're saying too. And I guess my comment to that is I think it's as a planning commission, in our last few meetings or in our meetings, we do listen to public comment and we don't always get a big variety of people making public comments. And I would like to hear more from the town. And so, you know, it doesn't mean that we're going to listen to everybody, because we, and their opinions about things, but we do need to have some kind of public comment. That's why I would like to have an informal meeting. For me, I would like to see an informal meeting so that people know that it's not a public hearing, or, you know, as far as that goes, that it's just a fact. I'm not sure of the wording that we would use for it.
Well, it's a, I mean, it is a public meeting, and
yeah.
So,
so it's not a,
but maybe a modification to what you suggested, Tina, which was, you know, we review and make suggestions and edits to the document and then open it to the public. Maybe we don't do that. We let the public see it, but they're not going to make comments or suggestions on it. But we do have a meeting where they've been exposed to it, and then they can come in and provide reactions that we can talk about. We can, you know, weigh what their views are.
Okay, I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that better, because...
Well, that's basically what I said, to give the public right. some input from us before we have a public meeting where the people can bring in their thoughts and ideas about it.
Okay. All right. Well, let's plan on that then. And, you know, whether it's a meeting that takes place at a different time than our usual meeting, so that it does seem like it's not... You know, so formal, and we all bring cookies or something. I mean, there's some way that we entice people.
Yeah.
Okay. Summarize meeting act. Any other discussion on general plan before? Summarize meeting actions and decisions. Well, we made two motions, recommendations to the town council. We'll get those written up, and I'll do a transmittal of some sort that. Documents, you know, what we heard and what we discussed and why we made those recommendations. And then we decided we'd edit the general plan. Potential upcoming business. So I put training on here. As John said earlier, and as state code says, for jurisdictions our size, training is not mandatory, but it's highly recommended. It would be helpful, and Jessica, I was going to ask if you or Lacey, I think Peg used to send out, you know, here are the links to some good training. It would be helpful for you to do that for the Planning Commission. And I've gotten some from John. I mean, the state code has some pretty explicit directions on, you should have, this is what most jurisdictions are required, 1 hour of annual training on the general powers and duties under Title 10, Chapter 9A, Municipal Land Use Development and Management Act. So 1 hour every year, and then 3 hours of annual training on various land use topics, which could include appeals and variances, conditional use permits, exactions, impact fees, vested rights, subdivisions, land use referenda, et cetera. I think there are some on RSTRs. Did you send me one on RSTR? No, you sent me one on something else.
The two that I sent you were
conditional use permit.
But the issues are very closely related to things like RSTRs,
right. So, we can do these, we could try to take up, use meeting time to do it, or we can do them on our own. Okay, you'd rather sit there with a glass of wine and do it. Yeah. So we'll ask you to do them on your own. And, you know, there is no requirement that you do them, but it would be helpful if you sort of let us know that you've done it and you're now more expert in some of these areas. Does that seem reasonable?
Yeah, because Ted did used to put, I mean, it's, you know, and John, I mean, it's interesting, actually, been on for 10 years. Listen to a bunch of them. I'm sure they update them occasionally, but Peg would give us she would just give us the information of where we could go to look at those.
Right.
Which is, what is it, John? It's like
the Utah League of Cities and Towns. Yes. And there's different ones in different places. So,
well, and they are, because they just changed quite a bit too, because there used to be the land use
what is that word?
Land Use Institute had a lot, but.
But one of them just changed and they combined it with the ULCT.
Oh, interesting.
Okay, well, anything you can send us would be helpful.
Yeah,
so,
and I will. I mean, I sent one out earlier this year, but I can
do it again.
Resend it out with those.
Yeah.
And Nick needs to sort of know about some of this. He may need some orientation. And I guess that's the other thing is in January, maybe we do a little bit of an orientation, partly for Nick, because he'll be the new person on the Planning Commission, because he's the new alternate town council. Yeah. So we are supposed to have bylaws. And, you know, we looked at them last year. I actually drafted some based on, and then we just put them by the way, but it seems to me it might be a really good idea to look at those bylaws. And
I think that what has happened too was the subdivision ordinance.
It overtook everything. Yeah.
For 2 years.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been 2 years for us. So I think it'll be easier for us to get back to maybe regular meetings once a month and be able to add some things into those meetings. Because we spent so much time on that.
Right.
I do want to say that with the required training there is required training that happens in the January meeting. I just can't remember the name of it.
Well, it's ethics or something.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, that one. Yes.
Yeah, so that's a, I don't know, 15-minute thing? Or I forget how long it is.
It's not super long.
It's 15, okay. 20
minutes. So just while you say that, that one is like a required.
Yeah. Also open in public meetings. Yeah, that's what it is every year.
Open Public Meetings Act.
Yeah, but some have to happen in the meeting and some are on your own.
Well, why don't you sort that out for us? That would be great.
I will send that out in it.
Okay, so I'm going to make a note. You'll do that. Okay, and then I'd like to do sort of process things in January. I mean, just to sort of get us on track for the year. So John laid out... So we talked about the general plan. John laid out a number of priorities. Let me just cover them quickly here. The general plan update, whatever we might decide to do, RSTRs, bylaws, housing, potential changes in the zoning code, known things we have to change in commercial standards and the whole CUP process. And then the potential to look at large subdivisions, which may not be adequately covered in the subdivision code we've put out in terms of sort of the quality of what folks should do if they're going to do something big. So those are
That's a
long list, right? And as John said, there's seven or eight things on there. We need to have really efficient meetings.
But I think that we also used to do those things before we did the subdivision ordinance. I mean, things were definitely different in our meetings before we did the subdivision.
We got bogged down in subdivision. I was thinking, this was just a thought about how to expedite some of this and how to get the public potentially engaged if they want to be. I mean, I've looked back at some of the minutes from 2020, and there were lots and lots of people, like when you were chairing it, Colleen, attending. I wondered if, when we tackle one of these, if we might want to have a public meeting, sort of an open discussion first, and have people say, oh yeah, I want to see this in subdivisions, or I want to see this in RSDRs, or these are the concerns. We talk about it and we draft a code, we get the language between that public meeting and our next meeting, and then we have a public hearing on it if we've got code. I mean, I don't know exactly how this would work, but I'd like the opportunity to get some input from the public before we're at the sort of final, here's our ordinance stage. I mean, we need public hearing for them to have input, but just to get some ideas on, where they have concerns, where they have issues, and what we might want to change in our code. So it was just a thought on process of how to do it. Any reactions?
Go ahead,
Tina. Well, and we could have that as something in the beginning of each meeting that we'd like to have. This amount of time is going to be spent on this issue, or towards the beginning of the meeting, so maybe everybody doesn't have to spend the whole meeting to have input something. And so instead of, because it sounded a little bit like we're getting into two meetings a month, and I not that I think that we can't, I mean that we might can't avoid it to get through all the things that we have, but if we could
okay,
kind of put the beginning. Pre-public public discussion
Have
a part of our meetings if possible, that would be great.
So think about it a little bit, and then in January, as we talk about sort of the year and the schedule and our priorities, we can decide whether that works for some of these topics. It may work better for some of them than others.
Yeah. Well, I think it's obvious too. I mean, it amazes me. I've been doing this a long time, and it amazes me how little public input we really get. Like
some people pay attention.
People just don't care. I mean, they really depend on us to do that, and unless something. We get, we can work on something and then we get clear to the end. And then, I mean, even the subdivision ordinance in the last month, there has literally been nobody at these meetings. Like, I don't know.
We burnt them out.
I just find it fascinating. That they don't, I don't know. And so then, you kind of have some of the same people over. And I'm like with you, like, I don't really want to hear that you don't want the color purple. I mean, just like, it's so important to me, like, not personal opinions per se, but things that would really help us, because sometimes the personal opinions don't help us at all.
Right.
Because they're not, so
they're not thinking about community.
Like you are saying, I get what you're saying. Totally. Because sometimes it takes a, and the whole 3 minute thing, like you'd stick to that, even, like at these informal meetings, you get 3 minutes and then that's it.
Right.
Like, so.
Well, although the opportunity in an informal meeting is to have more discussion, more interactive discussion. And again, I'm not trying to plug this, but this Voices of Boulder has been really interesting because you've had 35 people in the room hearing, people's views of the future. I mean, it's not about a specific topic, but people are sharing what's of value to them.
There are 200 people in the community, and you've only heard from a dozen of them so far. So that's very small.
Okay? Yeah,
that's
a
very small percentage of the people that live here in Boulder. And where
I'm looking for more to sign up, Colleen, if you want to be on. Will you do it? Can I put you on the list?
I would like to listen to the ones.
Okay.
Yeah, you can put me on the list, but not at the top.
I'll send you the link.
I need to listen. Yeah.
Yeah, you can hear what they're like. I mean, they're different. So the other thing that John brought up that we need to talk about in January is the schedule of our meetings, whether we keep it the second Tuesday or we change it to the third Tuesday, which would be 2 weeks after the town council. Think about it. We don't have to make that decision now. We will meet January 9th and then talk about it there. Anything else you think we need to do at our January meeting? Well, it's a lot of process stuff. Yeah, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. John. Final public comment here.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Okay, I fully accept the recommendation from tonight, and I said I would be the scrivener getting it down as an ordinance, so I will base it on that. However, there are a number of logistical things, and for January, you have somewhere between 5 and 7 CUP hearings. Because since your recommendation was not to suspend that part, the part about the annual CUP renewal, which is a planning commission duty, is back on your plate.
No, we didn't say that, John.
The way you worded it is, my interpretation. Yeah. I've been sitting here reading the ordinance. It's very clear that.
We haven't done it for the last 5 or 6 years, then, so we're not. Why would we all of a sudden say, we have to do it right now.
Because that's what the ordinance says you need to be doing.
But we haven't. Done it for 5 or 6 years.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm going to say, and this is what I will say at town council. So if the recommendation is to retain the language that says that you have to be in strict compliance with all the terms of the ordinance to renew, that's what the current ordinance says.
But we didn't say that.
You didn't say it, but I'm just saying.
So you can read it that way, but that's not the intent.
That was why my recommendation was we simply suspend those parts that we're not going to follow. But but the draft ordinance will reflect your recommendation. But I will bring it up at town council in a week. That if you retain that language that says that you need strict compliance, then that says that the planning commission needs to do CUP renewals.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not what it said, John. And I don't see that we didn't say write an ordinance. I mean,
no, the motion said you were going to retain the current ordinance. I can read from the current ordinance, or you can, but the current ordinance clearly says you have to be in strict compliance with it to get a renewal. And it says that there are things that have to be done for the CUP renewal, which is and the CUP renewal is a planning commission, not a town clerk, not a town council. It is a planning commission decision to renew a CUP, to issue a CUP. So that's, you put that back on your plate. It can be pro forma, you can bring them up.
Can make that proposal to the town council, but that's not what we recommended. So, I will transmit it, the way we made the recommendation.
You and I need to work together to get the draft ordinance in the next couple of days. Yeah,
well, we didn't say that there had to be a new ordinance. That's, we made a recommendation that you issue business licenses. I mean, that was the recommendation we made.
That was it.
Not that we put a new, we said that you make a moratorium. So I suppose you need an ordinance for a moratorium.
And okay, so you recommended that what you have recommended, I will ask that be on the town council agenda. But what you've recommended is we retain the current ordinance and then go ahead and ignore it.
No.
Well, you said we're retaining the ordinance and we're issuing business licenses.
And direct the PC to prioritize revisions to the code.
Yes.
I mean,
that's right.
But I want to make, the wording says recommend to the TC to maintain the current RSTR ordinance and issue business licenses to those current RSTR holders who prove they have paid taxes in 2024.
Which means we have to ignore huge chunks of the ordinance.
Which we have done for the last 5 or 6 years. So, we're suggesting do what we've been doing and let's fix the code.
Okay. We'll work offline on TC, but I will respect the recommendation from tonight as far as what the draft we work start from.
Thank you.
I guess that was final public comment. Oh, no, that was, yeah, let's take it as final public comment.
Okay. A motion to adjourn. Is that the end? That's the end.
I second it.
All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
And Tina, thank you so much for joining us by phone. I know it's not easy.
Oh, no, that's okay. That's great. Thank you. Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Bye.
Good night, Tina.
Good night.
Good night. Bye.
2 hours.
Not too bad. Am I supposed to say what time we've adjourned? 8:34 p.m.
8:34 p.m. the meeting was adjourned.